Look, our brains are great at lots of things, but remembering passwords is not one of them, especially not secure passwords. Let's free our brains from being password managers and get something way better. 1Password. 1Password keeps everything private and in sync across multiple devices. 1Password can't see the passwords or sensitive information you store in 1Password, so they can't use it, share it, or sell it, and neither can anyone else. I've been using 1Password for about 10 years now, and it's made my life so much easier, especially using it with Touch ID and Face ID. It's the first thing I install on any new phone, computer, or tablet I'm using for myself or my family. And all you have to remember is one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. And I love that something I use to save me so many hours I can't even count them all is something you can try too. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/beyond for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/beyond. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/beyond. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm excited to re-release, at the beginning of the year, a conversation I had with Ryan McCray about resolutions. A lot of people set New Year's resolutions, and others decide to forego that completely. We talk about both those sides of the pendulum or spectrum, and talk about a little bit in between in that spectrum, as well as the different perspectives and picking and choosing, honestly, what's going to work for you, because it's not about what other people are doing. It's about what you can do to make progress moving forward at this point in time, where a lot of people tend to think that if you haven't closed out the year right or kicked off the new one right, that you're just already failing. And come on, let's face it, that's just not true. That's not how this works. So Ryan is a voice of sanity, and I was glad to talk to him about this, and I'm glad I did, and I'm glad I'm re-releasing it, because it's a good reminder to refresh your perspective and help clarify your own perspective on resolutions, New Year's resolutions, resolutions in general, because you don't have to make them, but you also don't have to make them in December or January. If you're going to, you could make them any time of year. So I'll just get out of the way and say, enjoy this conversation on resolutions with Ryan McCray. This week, it is my privilege and pleasure to bring back to you once again, Ryan McCray. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Eric.
We're talking here in December, and this is one of those times a year where one calendar is closing and another is opening, and people freak out, I think, because they say, you know, they go to that John Lennon line in his Christmas song, another year older and another year just begun. And they're like,
right,
what do I have to show for myself? You know, they freak out.
Yeah. I think especially with the year we've had, we look, when that calendar page starts to turn, we just start to feel this like grip of regret. And we're like, all this stuff just didn't get done. And I think people just leave things, you know, just unfinished. And they kind of look in the mirror and they're like, man, I didn't make this huge change, or I'm still the same person. And then what's going to happen on the internet is people are going to be like, don't do resolutions. You should be trying all the time. And people are like, I love resolutions. And then it just becomes this like, this just war on Twitter or whatever, and just saying like, you know, resolutions are for, you know, posers and all this. And
it's a Marvel movie, Resolution, yeah, Civil War.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what it is. And I will plant my flag, and I will be, you know, I will say, like, I am pro resolutions. I think it's a part of human nature that we're like, hey, we want a fresh start. We want a clean slate. It's kind of like when you go to a new school, or you're like, hey, I get a new start,
yeah,
or a college semester starts. You're like, all right, kind of screwed it up. I'm going to do better. And once we go into adult life, that reset rarely happens. We rarely have something external that says, hey, you get a clean slate, like, except December 31st at midnight, like when midnight hits, like that's when we get to kind of say that. So, yeah, that's why I'm pro resolutions. I think we can, I'd love to talk about them and, you know, talk about like how to make them. What should you focus on? What's too many?
Well, let's go the opposite then. If you're planting your flag there, why do so many people, and I've been on both sides of this, and I kind of, being a quote unquote true productivity, oh gosh, I was going to say guru, and I guess I just did, so I'll stick with it.
Yep.
But being in that camp, it's like, I like with tools, I say, there's no one perfect tool for you, where, and there's also no one perfect perspective or approach or whatever. It's whatever approach then works best for you. So if right. resolutions have worked for you in the past, then I think you should do them. If resolutions have not worked in the past, then I think that you shouldn't do them. But I also think that the opposite to both those questions is also true. Maybe you right. do, if they've never worked for you in the past, maybe you do need to do them this year. So.
Right. So your first question was like, why are people against them?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's because resolutions can have this effect when, like, so we start strong in January. Gym memberships shoot up at the end of December and January, and then they significantly drop at the end of February. It's just like a thing. They literally market around it. And so what people say, like, you're going to put all this energy in, and then you're going to fail February, March, April, and then you just kind of go into malaise mode, and you're like, well, it didn't work out. You know, I'll try it another year. So let's say you're like, hey, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And you're like, one of those ways I'm going to do it is I'm going to go to CrossFit. So if, you know, it's high intense workout, you're like, all right, January 1st, you go to that hour class and you, it sucks. You are like throwing up on the side of the road. And then the next day you wake up and you're super sore. And you're like, I'm going to go again. And then you go again. The next day you're super sore and you've thrown up again. By the following week, you're going to be like, CrossFit is dumb. I'm out. And, but it's like, well, you had the tool, but you just used it incorrectly. You know, it's like, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, you can't be like, this hammer's terrible.
Right.
It hurts. And I just swung it and I got to figure out a way to put this nail in, but a hammer's not an option because it hurt me. And I'm like, well, let's pump the brakes. When I started doing CrossFit, I was like, I'm just going to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And people are like, man, that's not enough. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I have to like not die, like not dying is part of the goal. So if you're like, well, I want to run a marathon and I'm just going to wake up tomorrow and run 5 miles, I'd be like, you are going to fail. That does not work. I coach writers. They're like, tomorrow I'm going to try to put in 4,000 words. Uh-oh. I'm like, have you ever written 500? No. Okay. Like, because we this hope builds up in us and it's great, but resolutions need to be a long obedience in the same direction.
Okay.
They need to be a long obedience in the same direction. So
if I can predict where you're going with that, long obedience in the same direction,
mm-hmm.
it's that it's kind of linked to the whole Seinfeld calendar trick, right?
Correct.
Where you basically don't break the chain. And it doesn't have to be a daily thing like you were doing right. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but it was that you did Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and not doing a Monday, a Wednesday, or a Friday would have broken the chain.
Right.
And so starting slow, but then still getting that check mark and having that as the last foundation, if you will, that you keep adding one more brick to, and builds you up to where, oh, you know what? I've done Monday, Wednesday, Friday for 2 months, 3 months, whatever. Now I'm going to add in one more day.
Right.
For another week, 2 weeks, month, whatever, you know, and is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, like, let's say my work schedule on Monday, they're like, hey, we need you to come in, and I blows my, you know, I can't get to my class. Then I am signed up for Tuesday. Like, and my coach knows, like, Ryan didn't make Monday, he'll be here Tuesday. Ryan didn't make it Wednesday, he'll be here Thursday. Like, I have a built-in system to be like, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, this is my makeup day, and I don't, you know, that's sacrosanct. Like, I'm not gonna miss that. And I think when it comes to resolutions, I think what we miss is like the, I would call it, I don't have a better term for it, Eric. It's called like the grace component. Like, okay, like this is for your betterment, and we're gonna do it so that it's for your betterment. Like, there's not a penalty built in, or that's like, oh, you, because I think we get hooked on perfection, and I think perfect is the enemy of great. And so we need to like, be like, you know what? I blew it this week. I'm just going to pick it up this week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm back on it. Like there's no, we'll get this chorus of condemnation that's like, you screwed it up. Like this is never going to work. Like, see, you didn't get enough likes. Like you're out. Like, and I think that's like, I think that's like so poisonous to our development to be like, you know, everybody sucks when they first start. Everybody is going to struggle. You are going to have some missteps, but you know, I think January is a great time to start this like long obedience in the same direction.
And I think one of the really big things that it's a downside to the way that we approach resolutions is that we do it as this all or nothing thing.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's binary. It's one or it's zero. It's not any kind of gray area. It's not a, like you said, the grace factor where, and I think you build that in, and I think you even allude to this, is that with the long obedience in the same direction, you're looking for a way to set up obeying today and then continually obeying throughout the entire year, not thinking in terms of, hey, I'm going to instantaneously, like the end of January, have achieved the goal. But it's by this time next year, this thing will be, this habit will have changed drastically.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's great. And that's perfect. And one of the, like when I started to eat healthy, I lived in a college for 10 years. I lived on a strict diet of like Domino's pizza and Mountain Dew. Like it was not a healthy college environment for me to eat in. And so finally my doctor's like, hey, hate to be a downer, but you know, your blood thickness is like Crisco. Like you've got to like work on this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's good. And so what a friend of mine said, I'm like, oh man, I just don't want to eat like granola and kale. He's like, do this, just eat healthy breakfast for like a week. And then like lunch and dinner, do what you can. And then like, again, like shift down to now it's breakfast, lunch. Now it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, and like ease into it. Because, you know, we look at our friends on Facebook and we're all we're seeing is a highlight reel of their life. We're not seeing their struggles. Like you talk about like this strange narcissistic thing where it's like, hey, I did this. And we're like, oh, you know, I had 7 waffles for lunch. And we're like, oh, you know, and we feel bad about ourselves because, you know, this guy, you know, the guy that was last in gym class finished one of those Trojan races. Ugh. But, you know, and then we're like, oh, what about us? Well, you know, we're comparing, you know, our blooper reel to their highlight reel. And that's not healthy.
Yeah. You look, every time you scroll through Facebook, you feel like you're getting lapped.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. So, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So,
So let's talk about this. If we're, I think we've got a pretty good perspective on that resolutions are not something that are, you know, it's not black and white. Yeah. The end goal kind of can be, but again, it's having that you've got 12 months to work on this thing, not one or two, which I think is what, again, that's why it ends at 1 or 2 months.
Right.
When people kick it off. But what's the proper perspective then for choosing what resolutions and how many resolutions? How do we enter into, if somebody was like, no, I hate resolutions, they never work for me. How do you coach them through? Okay, well, let's set some up, but let's set them up realistically and doable.
Great question. So I would say when I talk to people and resolutions don't work, I'll be like, so what are your resolutions for this year? And they're like, well, either they're very vague and just nebulous. And I'm like, well, okay. Or they're like, well, I had like 9 things I wanted to get done. And I'm like, boo, like I boo all 9 things. Like, no, don't boo them. I boo them. Like I would say one or two things. And I know, you know, your audience are like one or two, you know, I'm a hot mess. I'm like, I get it. I'm a hot mess. We're all hot messes. But I would pick one or two things and I would categorize them at this. What is causing you great pain? So it's like, hey, your doctor's like, you need to work out. Hey, you need to get a little bit more money brought into the house. Like, what are some pain points you have? So that's one. The other one is what would bring you joy this year? Because I think we don't focus on joy enough. We just focus on the pain part, but we don't focus on what would make you happier this year. Because is it possible that if you've had more joy in your life, that it's going to bring everything up? It's going to move make everything else better. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah.
So something that would bring you joy would be, you know what? I'm finally going to learn guitar. I'm going to wipe off the dust. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to develop better relationships, and I'm going to have a system for that. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to finally start that blog or write that book. This is the year of it. And I just want to say to your audience, like, a lot of us grew up with, I know this is a little like, I'm not sure to be like Dr. Phillish on this, but a lot of us grew up with, I don't even know if he still has a show. He probably does. A lot of us grew up with parents where you had to ask for permission for everything. And I mean everything, like whatever it was. And I found that the people who had those kind of parents who were very, you know, wanted to make sure their kid was safe all the time, that it kind of latches onto us in adulthood, and we're kind of looking for permission to do these things. So when it comes to joy, like learning guitar, writing that book, finally getting paint on the canvas, I just want to tell your audience, like, you have permission to do it. Go ahead and do it. Like, we grant you that. We, you know, go ahead. It's okay. Like, that is what the human, you know, spirit is for. Like, go and make something that will make you happy and other people happy. So I would say, so you're looking at a pain point, and you're looking at what would bring you joy. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Okay. And then how you go about doing that is, you know, people are like, you need to make goals. You need to make goals. You know, they're smart goals. You know, they're sensible. You know, they're strategic. They've got an end point, the whole thing. And when I always hear that, like, people will make goals and they write them on a piece of paper, and then they're like, what do I do now? Like, if I wrote, like, I want to lose 20 pounds by December 31st, 2017, that is a goal. It has, it's measurable. But then it's like, well, how? We miss the how part of our resolutions. We miss it. And so what I tell people is, like, all goals need systems. So, for example, you know, you talked about losing 20 pounds.
Yeah.
What I tell people is, like, hey, when I started going to CrossFit, like, I knew I was waking up to something that wasn't going to be enjoyable. Like, you know, it's a hard workout. I have to drive a little bit to go to the gym I really like. This whole thing. So I had to, like, remove the obstacles from me staying in bed. Like, because I will go to the Church of St. Mattress anytime. Anytime. I just, my bed's, you know, remember when you have, like, the perfect temperature, you wake up and, like, the comforter, like, you have achieved, like, bliss. But I'm like, oh, I have to go to CrossFit.
Yeah.
So, you know, so things I do is, like, my gym clothes are beside the bed. I post when I work out on an accountability group I have immediately after. I have to take a picture of the workout and my face. I only work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 7 a.m. My house cannot be filled with garbage. I cannot put junk food in my house. Cause you know that, you know, like when you get a bag of chips and it says it says like serving size and it's like 4. Okay. That's for me. That's always 1. Like I will eat every serving size for junk food is 1 because I will just eat it all. I'll just. Like it doesn't matter the size of the bag or whatever.
Yeah. We've been there.
We've been there. You know, I have a system, like if I'm going to a celebration, I eat a huge healthy meal beforehand. So that way I'm not hungry when I get there and there's like all these terrible choices, you know, and then once a week I weigh in. So I have it on my phone. It's like weigh in. And then I record that weight because I don't want to do it day to day because that can fluctuate.
Right.
But week to week is a good measure because day to day is like, how did I gain 3 pounds? It's, oh, well, you drink a lot of water. It's like, oh, you know, but if you don't, if you do it every day, like I try to keep discouragement, you know, at the gate because that will creep in and that chorus of condemnation will be like, see, exercise doesn't work. You're getting fatter. And I'm like, yeah. No,
so,
science.
And I'm going to throw in a different perspective on this real quick, that for me, weighing myself daily actually does the opposite effect because I track it in an app. And so if it just goes up slightly one day and then the next day is lower than the day before that, then I see over on the, in other words, one, it's my way of checking the box and not breaking the chain for one. Yeah. And for two, I look at it as that long tail graph and I see it going down. And I also see the slight upticks once in a while in the past.
Right.
And it reinforces that there's this long obedience moving forward. So for me, that actually helps me. And I do it the same time of more, you know, I do it first thing in the morning before drinking any water and before doing anything else, you know, so that hopefully it's the lightest I can possibly be in the day because I've eaten nothing. So that's another flip, you know, on that in case somebody was like, well, I don't know if I think I would want to weigh myself once a day.
Don't you hate getting cornered by family members that feel like you have to hold back some of the story from them? You know, the one that asks when you're getting married or what's going on with that promotion or why haven't you moved out of mom and dad's basement? Then they're not really listening. They're just judging. While you may have to grin and bear it with your family, you shouldn't have to feel that way when it comes to talking to your doctor about that maybe you ate pizza one too many times that week or something else. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews so that you can make sure that the vibes are vibing before you ever meet in real life. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and a website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. And you can specifically filter for those that take your insurance or are located near you or treat a condition that you're searching for. My doctor recently retired, so I'm using ZocDoc right now to find the best fit for me. And you can too. Go to ZocDoc.com/beyond and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/beyond. ZocDoc.com/beyond. Still searching for a great candidate for your company? Don't search, just match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch that busy work. Instead, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. I wish I had Indeed when I was in the hiring process in roles in the past because it is a slow, arduous headache of a process to find the right people, or at least it used to be. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to find and hire great talent fast. In fact, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And maybe on like after like 4 weeks, I might switch to like, hey, I'm going to now weigh myself every day. Just because when I was starting out, I was like, you know, after two weeks, I'm like, what do you mean I've lost half a pound? I've been eating kale and, and whispers. I've been eating kale and whispers. That's all I've been eating. You got to be kidding me. And so, you know, then you can be like, cause you're once you start those successes, you can shift it. You can, you know, tweak it towards, you know, better results.
Cause
and that's with anything. Yeah.
Cause we can't ignore that that whatever goal it is, when you've done no progress towards it whatsoever and first state it and even first make a plan, it's going to be very psychological and emotional starting
out. Oh, yeah. You are unwinding. Like, it's like one of those like big cables that have all those little wires. You're like unwinding those wires of bad behavior with every positive action. And so, and you just have to keep going so that you now have a new cable of like better habits and it all matters. It all matters.
Totally.
And so you need to develop these systems for everything. So if you want to write a book, people are like, I'll just write 500 words a day, you know, cause math. And I'm like, terrible, terrible idea. And they're like, what? Why is that a terrible idea? I'm like, well, 500 words is, I mean, I get the math portion, but like, well, where are you going to write? Why does that matter? Oh, bro, it matters. Like, where are you going to write? Like, do you have a bag packed that has all your writing material in it with like an extra cable for your laptop? So you're never without it. Oh, that's a good idea. You know, like you have, what's your writing time going to be? Who do you send the 500 words or, you know, your weekly roundup of everything you've written to? Well, I don't want them to read it. No, you just have to ship it. That's all. Just the action of shipping it. Oh, okay. You know, then they start to get it. Like you build this framework so your goal can grow. It's like, If you're going to make a garden, you wouldn't just throw seeds out the window and be like, hope I got fruit, you know, hope I got some vegetables in a couple months. Like, no, you have to till it. You have to plant it. You have to take care of it. You have, you know, and then it grows. You're going to take some like effort. But if you planted this garden and you're after 3 days, you're like, this is dumb. Gardening must be a myth. Like, this isn't a real thing. Like, well, of course it is. It's just, we have to add time to it. You have to add patience to it.
All right. So yeah. What if we set up a system, but at some point we realize that we're maybe getting too many fails. Okay. How do we course correct, or how do we get back on track, or both?
So do you want to do the writing example or the gym example?
Let's go with the gym example.
So gym.
Because I know you mentioned the whole, like, you've got the class set up for Tuesday and Thursday, et cetera.
Right, right. So let's say you're failing. You are not, when this happened to me, I was literally not getting out of bed to go to the gym. And my clothes, everything was set. Like, the system was in, I had my gym clothes out. And I was like, what is my damage? What is my damage? Like, why can I not get to the gym? And literally, I am getting messages from my coach, like, are you eating ice cream? Like, what is your day? Like, what is going on? I'm like, oh man, what is it? And then I looked, and I looked like in front of my TV, and I could see that, you know, I was watching shows until 10:30, 11, 11:30, you know, just cause I got wrapped into a series.
Yeah.
So I was just, you know, come home from work. I worked until 9 o'clock.
You weren't binging on ice cream. You were binging on television.
I was binging on television, but you're like, what does that have to do with it? Well, it's because I'm staying up late. I've killed my sleep. I've now thrown off my sleep schedule. 6:20 rolls around and I've lost 2 hours of sleep. And when that became a cycle, of course, my body's going to be like, nope, we need the sleep. And so I'm like, oh no. So literally I had to add something into the system. Like, bro, you cannot watch Netflix past 9 o'clock. Can't do it. Cause again, like the potato chips, I will binge on TV and be like, oh, let's just roll the next episode. And then I'm getting to bed too late. And so then my workout suffers, but I was never connecting Netflix to the gym. It wasn't until I took a step back and said, you know, hey, what has changed in my life in the last 2 weeks? Oh, what's changed is I got into the show, and because everybody else at work was into it. So I've got to. So instead I would, you know, watch that during my lunch hour, or I would, you know, save it for my days off. But I had to like limit myself because I have a habit of like binging on things I really like. That is a great ADHD quality, by the way. It works for good and bad. So I had to just set that up. And once I set that up and got my sleep schedule right, then the system worked. So it's like, it'd be like your car suddenly stops working. You have to look at the system and be like, is it the battery? Is it the alternator? What has changed here? Because this car used to run. Oh, there's no gas. Maybe that's it. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, how do you stop that? Like, how, like, did you set an alarm saying, okay, it's bedtime, or
yeah.
What's the boundary? I'm imagining some sort of boundary was placed there.
Yeah, a boundary was placed. The new rule was no Netflix, no TV after 9 o'clock, like no like electronics, just because they would keep me up, like all the light. The second thing I did was my smartphone has a bedtime app. And so I just set it for 9:30 and was like, hey, I will obey this and it's like, oh man, Ryan, like you are a grown man. You should not have to have these. I can hear your audience is like, rah. You're a grown man, but it's like, you're right. I am absolutely a grown man, but my workouts are important to me. I'm setting this boundary. We set up boundaries. We live by boundaries all the time. You know, we stop at stoplights. We, you know, all these things. Yeah. So I just added one more and it just reminds me. And then, you know, I'm not taking it away. I value my workout and my health more than a TV series that I'm going to forget about in a year. So I'm okay. You know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And
you're not saying no to Netflix. You're saying later to Netflix.
Just later. And I can now download it on my phone. Like it's more, you know, that just came out. So I'm like, you know, I'm not like groaning. It's not like I'm, you know, but just getting to that gym it's important to me. And I love it. I love when it's like 8:30 and I've worked out and, you know, I just feel good about it. After I watch Netflix and I'm exhausted, I'm never like, man, that time was so valuable and enriching. Thank you. You know, so I'm, you know what I mean? You have to like, you know, it's just another form of junk food. I mean, it's fine, but you know, it can cost you. So
totally. Yeah. Okay. So we've assessed that. So it, that was one thing that you had to make the change on towards you know, course correction or, you know, getting back on track. Any other examples in that line, in that, you know, throughput? I know that, you know, you had a time away for a while where you were out of the country. I'm sure you had to reacclimate.
I did, you know. So for your listeners, I was, my company sent me to China for 3 months, and China is a very different place on the other side of the world. Beautiful place. Trust me. If you have people want to travel internationally, I highly recommend it. But you know, I had to, when I came back, I had to like start new habits. And one of the habits I kind of fell off from was like reading, you know, cause I was doing a lot of travel. And I just wasn't like, I didn't have a lot of bandwidth to like take in new information. Cause anytime I left my apartment in China, I was taking in just huge amounts of new information culturally, how to navigate, how to, you know, order food. So, you know, I would go to read a nonfiction book and I'm like, man, I'm just full. It's like that Far Side cartoon where the kid raises his hand. He's like, my brain's full. Can I be dismissed? You know, and I was just like, I'm full. And so when I got back, I had some great nonfiction books I wanted to hit. And I went into that system mode and it's like, well, just, you know, it's like, oh, just read 25 pages a day. And I'm like, you know, that sounds great, but that's probably not going to work. So I picked out 3 books I wanted to finish, you know, in 2 months. I grabbed kind of in a Ryan Holiday method. I grabbed a stack of note cards. I took 20 of them, put them in each book. You know, readers are like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, we covered that with Srinivas Rao.
Okay, very good.
So go back to that episode if you want to hear more explanation on that Ryan Holiday system.
Then I had a rule that those 3 books must always be with me. Now, let me be very clear. They always have to be within, like, either they can be in my apartment, but if I leave the house, they are with me, those 3 books. Go to the dentist's office, I'm carrying 3 books. If I'm, you know, going to work, I have 3 books in my briefcase. They are going with me because the amount of time we wait for things and don't realize it is huge. We wait, you know, we wait for the dentist's office. We wait at the DMV. We wait to get our food. I'm not saying like when you wait at a stoplight, but you know, you got to carry these books. Now I can hear your audience. They're like, but just put them on your phone, Ryan. You fool. You could download them. I hear you. I hear you, my friends. I hear you, brothers and sisters. But the way my brain works, I will flip through Facebook really quick and then blow that time.
Yes.
I will play a game. I will, you know, send my friend a funny, you know, GIF. And then I blow that time. So if I have the books with me, I flip that urge from Facebook to reading. And if I can get 10 pages, you know, 10 pages knocked out and then another 5 and then another 20, I can burn through these books. And then the rule is after each chapter, I have to write down 3 things I learned and 3 quotes every chapter.
Yeah.
And it all stops. Like, you cannot continue that book until that's done. So then I've got some really healthy information when I'm done. I've retained a more, you know, and I always read with a pencil in hand and I just put check marks or comments, you know, besides shows. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. I have taken, in fact, I even sent you a picture of some books that I'm currently.
You did.
In fact, it was 3. So I didn't realize that I was doing exactly what you were doing. Somebody out there's like, why are you reading 3 books at once? Well, it's because you have different moods or different like attention spans for like certain things. So like, I'm trying to think of what I'm reading. I think all 3 of them are nonfiction right now, but I like to read more fiction in the future. But anyway, yeah, I love, talking about this stuff and love talking about this stuff with you. I'm trying to think of where can we land properly with this topic? We've talked about why or why not to do resolutions. We've talked about, and honestly, I'm for it. I really am.
Right.
Like, And so I've been thinking, what is next year's resolutions? And I'll say that there's actually one that I'm not willing to share out loud publicly.
Okay.
Because of the nature of it. It's one of those things where it's like, I will be working on it. I have an accountability partner to work on it with, because it's a partnership with this friend of mine, like 20-year friendship. And we both want to create, we want to work on this creative thing together.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say it. It's a new podcast. Anyway, but I'm not willing to put timestamps on that yet, because there's stuff that needs to be cleared off the plate, and we have made progress on it. We're trying to figure out the unique place in the future that it fits. So
yeah. And that resolution is just removing the obstacles,
yes,
and doing a solid investigation. That is again, permission. That's fine. Like, resolutions don't have to be this like binary 0-1 failure thing. It's just, hey, whatever is going to be a long obedience in the same direction, that is what's going to get you there.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, where I'm at with this thing. And it's also about margin. And so how do you integrate that into your resolutions?
Yeah, I would say, what are you willing to, you know, when you look at your time, you're like, I don't have enough time. I'm like, meh, meh, meh. You know, that's just noise to me. But I would say, like, what are you filling your time with that's just not productive or really aiming towards your goals? So, you know, one thing I do coaching for productivity. And one thing I'll say, like, hey, when you're in the car, what do you listen to? They're like, I listen to the radio, music. I'm like, you know what? I would open up some podcasts. And if you're really looking to start a small business, I would listen to these 4 podcasts on your way. They're like, yeah, but I really like, you know, I said, well, you can now get an hour of learning a day, mm-hmm, over 5, you know, and that winds up to be 20 hours of painless, just passive. You just have to listen. You just have to listen. They're like, okay. I said, just give it a try Monday, Tuesdays, or give it a try. And they're like, oh, I get it. I get it. And so I try to find these gaps of, like, you know, like carrying the book, you know, what has to go. But I would say, you know, when it comes to bandwidth, like, what are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up to doing a time audit of how much television you watch? You know, when I moved back from Afghanistan, when I got my own place, I decided not to have a TV, and I didn't have a TV for 3 years. And people would come over and they were just like, you don't have a TV? I'm like, no. What do you do? I'm like, I read and I write. And they're like, that's it? I'm like, oh, it's plenty. Like, I'm good. Like, you know, you don't need an intervention that I don't have, like, a television. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Like, how do you watch things? I'm like, well, I have an iPad and I can watch a movie on it. It's this new technology. And they're just like blown away. But I found that I just had so much more time than anybody else. Now, that is drastic.
Yeah.
And it's not for everyone. But I would say, like, can you get up an hour earlier? Can you go to bed an hour earlier so you can get, you know, so you can have that time? I had a friend of mine, his doctor was like, you have 4 daughters and they are going to attend your funeral in 5 years if you don't do something about this weight. Now, it is drastic, but he's like, they're going to attend your funeral. And so he got up at 4 in the morning and he would hit he got a bike, you know, a recumbent bike, and he just read books. And he only rode his bike until his first kid got up. And that weight just started to shed off. But he was willing to give up a lot of things, you know, to do that. But I would do a time audit. Where is your time just sinking away? And what are those holes? You can put some podcasts in, put some reading in. Can you, well, you know, I homeschool my kids. Can you go on a walk with them and teach? Yes. Then do that if you want to start, you know, becoming healthier.
Or even have that be the transition time in between subjects or something.
Right. Yeah.
Thinking outside the box.
Yeah. We're going to walk a mile. So we walk a mile at 1 o'clock and we worry at 10 o'clock and we walk a mile at 1 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's fitting those things in. And if you find yourself like, this is impossible, it's like, no, that's the wrong message that's coming through. That's like this chorus of like condemnation, be like, it's impossible, I just give up. Like, no, it's just, you've got to just start on baby steps and get there. So maybe it's a quarter of a mile, maybe it's a half a mile. So
yeah. So I'll give an example here. I,
sure.
A couple weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago now, I hadn't gained back, you know, the weight that I'd lost earlier in the year, but I hadn't made any progress for a while and hadn't been getting good sleep. And my body was just from like anxiety or whatever, waking me up at like 4:45, almost 5 o'clock. And I'm just like, I want to be able to sleep later. So what I did was I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to reward myself that if I just get out of bed then, if that happens, then I already have something downloaded on my phone to watch and my stuff's ready to throw on and go to the gym and I'll sit on a bike. And since I'm not used to it yet, I'll just sit there for the half hour and I'll briskly enough to get my heart rate moving, but not like killing myself. And I'll just move and I'll reward myself by watching a show or part of a movie at the same time and just keep doing that every day. And then I just kept doing it. And then I moved it into, you know, listening to a podcast / using more pumped up music and like actually walking on the treadmill instead or, you know, whatever. Yeah. So whatever you got to do, like multitasking in that sense is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Cause it's a your focus could be completely split because, you know, our body, we don't have to think about walking. Like we just, it's, you know, part of our, you know, it's automatic for us. So walking, running, the whole thing. But you know, like lifting weights, you know, I don't want you to listen to a podcast. So, you know, the bar falls on your head, but you know, like, whoa, everyone, you just take a step back. But, I think that's great. And now people would say like, you just went on the bike. That's it. That's not, you know, no, that's enough for now. That's enough for now. And then tomorrow you can add to it or not, but it's enough for now. And I think we need to accept that, hey, this is good for now. It's going to get better. It's good for now.
And again, that goes back to that idea that how does that play into your long tail goal for the year that you're making the resolution for and not playing into it's got to be perfect, but at least making it great, which is better than the crappy or maybe good of where you are currently.
Right. Yeah. It's just this gradual incline of going up and up and up. It doesn't, you know, we would never wake up in the morning and decide to run a marathon if we'd never hit the treadmill or the road before. So why would we do it with anything else? And why would we expect anything else? Like, let's just, you know, start small and add those gradual wins and increase it. And that's what everyone's done. So you mentioned like your podcast, it took you like 4 months from like conception to doing it. But we don't see that. We just see podcasts where like, oh, they must have just done this. And it's like, no, we don't, you know, we don't see it. It's like one of those, what I think one of the best shows that ever came out was like How Things Are Made, you know, where they show the assembly line and we're like, oh, it's a process and it takes time. Yes, it all does. It all does. So, yeah.
Yeah. So plan for December 31st. Plan for it wisely. Set up systems. What am I forgetting?
Long obedience in the same direction.
That's right. That's a good place to land right there is that just that long obedience in the same direction is better than fits and spurts.
Right.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. Great. Well, Ryan, thanks for being on the show. And,
thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. You got it.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your listening to-do list. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Ryan McCray like I did. It was great to revisit and refresh my memory, my perspective, and to see how far I've come since we recorded it a few years ago, see where I'm at now, see where you're at now. Speaking of which, if you found this conversation helpful, I would love for you to do me the favor of sharing this with somebody that you know needs to hear it. Go ahead and hit that share button in your podcast player app of choice, wherever you're listening to this, or over on the show notes at beyondthetodolist.com. Thank you again for sharing. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to the end. If you're looking for a show to start helping you apply these productivity lessons on your business, check out Millionaire University. It's real lessons from real entrepreneurs teaching you what you need to know to improve your business or start one if you've been putting it off. It covers all aspects of business from starting, marketing, growing, managing, and everything in between, wearing all the hats. And as an added bonus, I am conducting a number of those conversations, those interviews. So you'll fit right in. Again, that's Millionaire University. Just search for it in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast.